And now, a word about our sponsor, Divorceify. Divorceify is a national marketplace of divorce services where you can shop on your own or be directed by using their highly personalized divorce GPS.
After you complete your short intake, you instantly receive a personalized roadmap to an efficient divorce.
You can use the divorce GPS to find out which divorce process is best for you.
And to find out what type of professional help you need.
You will also receive a Start Your Divorce to-do list to get things going in the right direction.
Even if you're in the middle of your divorce, you can use divorce GPS to start moving in the right direction.
Divorceify's network includes pre-vetted professionals, and they can put you in touch with the ones that best suit your case and your wallet.
Best of all, Divorceify's Divorce GPS is free to everyone. So get your divorce on course and visit Divorceify.com today.
That's Divorceify.com.
And tell them Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast sent you.
Coming today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
We all want to be seen, heard, and feel like we matter, every single one of us. And that's why we do a lot of the things that we do. It's what motivates a lot of what we do. It's what causes wars and everything else. And it just made me realize that, you know, somebody like me who's been in the negotiation world as an attorney for years and years and years, I realized when she said that, that that's what's really going on in a negotiation.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is near and dear to my heart. It's called Negotiate Like You Matter, the Surefire Method to Step Up and Win. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So yes, today's topic is near and dear to us. And today's podcast is a very special one and a little different for you who are our usual listeners. Today, I'm very excited because our guest is Rebecca Zung. Rebecca, yes. And it's a very special day for Rebecca. We are taping this podcast on her birthday. And we are talking about her new book, which was just released, which is called, as she said, Negotiate Like You Matter, the Surefire Method to Step Up and Win. The book is, so for those of you who are watching, I'm showing you the book right here on the screen. The book was just released and went straight to number one on Amazon, no surprise, on the day it launched. And the foreword, which I think is so exciting, was written by renowned trial attorney and LegalZoom founder, Robert Shapiro. So I'm going to give you a little quote because I love what he said about the book. He said, "It's worth its weight in gold. Whether you are a beginning negotiator or a seasoned one, this book provides specific tools and real-world examples so that you can avoid critical mistakes and ensure a winning outcome. It is a powerful guidebook for negotiating in any scenario and in any industry." So, you know, Rebecca, we don't talk as much about our accomplishments on the show. It's in our bios, say, in the notes, but I want you to know a little bit about my co-host here. You may or may not know, but Rebecca is one of the top 1% of attorneys in the country, having been recognized by U.S. News and World Report as a best lawyer in America, and as legal elite as well by Trend Magazine, among others. She's sought after and speaks to many major media contributors and outlets, and she's been featured on Extra, Forbes, Huffington Post, Newsweek, Time, Dr. Drew, NPR, the list goes on. So welcome to my fearless co-host, Rebecca Zung.
Thank you, my fearless co-host, Susan Guthrie.
Yes, it's so fun to have you here today, Rebecca. So our format's a little bit different because I'm really excited for you to have an opportunity to talk about your book and about the principles in it because You know, we were talking about this earlier, and in fact, I was talking about this topic with my husband this morning. He's a real estate wheeler dealer, and so we're negotiating as a part of his world, and we were actually talking about him reading your book, because he said, you know, negotiating in life can be exhausting. It takes up a lot of our time, and for those of you who are listening, you may not even think that you negotiate that often. If you don't have a career or a job where you negotiate as a part of that job, like Rebecca and I do as divorce attorneys, or my husband in the real estate, you know, transaction world, you may not think you need to know how to negotiate. But in fact, you know, Rebecca, I think you'd say people need to learn to negotiate in all areas of their life, and it can vastly improve their experience. So this is a great topic for everyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, you're even negotiating with yourself a lot of the times for your own self-worth, your own self-value, negotiating your own thoughts. You know, I mean, really, that's the thing that people don't even realize, is that we're negotiating not only in the outside world, but internally as well.
Yeah. So you'll learn how to negotiate with yourself even better, except yourself now is going to be better able to respond to your internal negotiation.
Yeah.
But you know, the book is called Negotiate Like You Matter. And if you see on the title, it's M period, A period, T period, on and on. So, you know, how did you come to the title of the book?
I came to the title because I had actually heard Oprah a few years back when she finished her show talking about what is the human experience, the collective human experience, the one thing that every single human being on the planet experiences. And that is that we all want to be seen, heard, and feel like we matter, every single one of us. And that's why we do a lot of the things that we do. It's what motivates a lot of what we do. It's what causes wars and everything else. And it just made me realize that, you know, somebody like me who's been in the negotiation world as an attorney for years and years and years, I realized when she said that, that that's what's really going on in a negotiation. And I had actually been speaking on negotiation for years before I came to this realization. And so I just decided to take the Negotiate Like You Matter, because we all want to feel like we matter. And I took the word matter and applied it to the methodology that I recommend that people use in order to create a scenario where they win their negotiation. So it starts internally. You go from the inside out. And in my book, I have this little graphic that shows you, and then it shows your internal self. You have to feel, so the M is actually the, your value is defined by you. So you say, my value is defined by me, and that's the M. Because you have to feel your own internal value before you can get anybody else to see that. And the reason why nobody likes to negotiate, by the way, is because in a negotiation, it's different than just a regular interaction with people. In a negotiation, there's actually a transaction involved. There's this thing that's also going on, and the transaction is going to have an outcome that's visible, that's measurable. And people don't want to see that measurable outcome if they're worried that it might look like they didn't matter or they didn't get the value that they thought that they should get. So they're afraid that that value is going to reflect on their own personal value. And that's why they don't like to do it.
Well, and that's a really good key point. I just want to say for those who are listening, so you just explained what M is in your title, and that's what I think it's a brilliant, easy for people to remember thing that you've done here, is you have basically six components to, you know, creating the format for learning to negotiate like you matter. And each one corresponds with the letters of the word matter. So M is my value is defined by me. And each one has a corresponding step. And I love that, because as we know from Bill Eddy, who we had on the show, these acronyms can be super helpful for people, especially in times of maybe stress. Negotiations can be stressful. As you say, there's something else going on. There's this transaction. Often that's a stressful transaction, or there can be some stress around that. So acronyms are wonderful for people to remember. So what's A?
So A is now you're getting a little bit further away from yourself. So it's the next step out. You haven't even gone into the room to negotiate yet, by the way. So I say 80% of the negotiation is won before you even walk into the room. So a lot of the work, probably 50% of the work, has to come in the M stage, by the way. So, you know, I always say people will think what you tell them to think. So, and so before I get to the A, I want to make one distinction that I think is really important for people to understand. And in the book, I define that there's a difference between your external value and your internal value. Because people will say to me, well, yeah, so I'm worth $5 million, pay me that. And I say, no, that's not what I mean. So I think it's really important for people to understand that there is an internal value, which is yours and yours alone to define. And you define your value internally and how you feel about yourself. And then, of course, there's an external value to you as a professional or in a career or something like that. You know, a paralegal is not going to, you know, go out and get $500,000 a year or something like that. I mean, it really kind of depends on, you know, what place you're in, the level of education, you know, the type of company you work for, the area you live in, all that sort of thing will create an external value for you. So I just want to make sure that people understand that I differentiate between your internal value, which is whole and complete and inherent, which is different than whatever your external value is. So that's the value component. But then the A is analyze, research, and create arguments and leverage. This is the part where you're actually going to be working on creating the value for your external self. So this is where you're really going to say, okay, this is how much I think I'm worth in the world as far as a professional or in the career or whatever. But it also may be, you know, if you're buying a house or if you're negotiating with a partner or a client or it really doesn't matter. But I mean, you know, as attorneys or as entrepreneurs, we're constantly trying to define our value to the client or to whoever's going to be buying our products or services and saying, okay, here's why mine is the best quality. So the way that you sway people is by having facts to back up your arguments and also anticipating what they're going to say and being ready to refute that or have an answer for that or speak to that, whatever that's going to be. So, and then creating leverage by looking at what people's pain points are going to be and things like that so that you can, you know, incentivize people to want to come to your position. But remember that they're going to want to feel like they got value. So by giving them these facts, you're actually showing them how they're getting value, how they're being seen by working with you.
Yeah, and I think I love those points because what I hear is preparation in all these different phases. The, you know, creating incentives for the other side or understanding incentives. It reminds me of the episode we did on leverage in your divorce negotiations, but really that episode applies to everything. It's like a 30-minute episode based on this one point that you're talking about. And understanding and being prepared when you go into your negotiation with all these levels of having your facts, understanding them, and understanding what's incentivizing the other. So I've always found as a divorce attorney that to be a critical part of going into a negotiation prepared. So I love that you emphasize that. And the next one I think is really something that people don't necessarily think of when they go into at least an in-person or a visual situation where they're mediating. So T, the first T, is dress to a T and use powerful body language and words. So you're actually now talking about the physical presence in the negotiation, right?
Right. And it should definitely be planned. And, you know, part of this also, by the way, is determining where and when the negotiations are going to take place, because you want to make sure that I have a whole section in the book about, you know, your turf or mine, or should it be somewhere in between? And psychologically, how do those things play out? But as far as the dressing is concerned, there's actually a psychological imprinting that takes place. I actually found psychological studies that were done on this based on what you're wearing. So, you know, wear something that makes you feel like $1 million. Wear something that makes you feel powerful and makes you feel confident. It's really, really important. And colors make a huge difference. I have a whole section in the book about colors and what they mean to people and which ones are the best and which ones are the worst. You know, a lot of people think of red as being powerful, but red is also, you know, means danger. It means emergency. You know, red is the Red Cross. Red is fire engines and red lights. It means stop. Stop signs, you know, so red might not necessarily be the best color if you're trying to get somebody to do something that you want them to do. You know, there's a whole section about yellow and how yellow is happy and cheerful, but yellow is also associated with being cowardly, you know, so that could be something that you want to consider too. Blue is supposed to be a really great color to wear for negotiation, which is why I picked a picture of me wearing blue for the cover of the book, because that's the one that's supposed to garner trust, which is why you see doctors wearing blue and you see lots of banking logos and things like that have blue in them. So I would say, you know, blue, green, purple, those are supposed to be really great colors to wear for negotiation. And, you know, stay away from black and red, I would say. So, and then as far as body language is concerned, there's a whole lot that goes into that. I only touched on it in the book, but there's a lot more. But I did give in the book some specifics. I gave some quick little things that you can do to appear more powerful, grabbing your chin, things like that, which make you appear more powerful, steepling. And then also reading other people's body language. And so I give some tips in the book about how to read other people's body language. You know, when people are saying yes, but then shaking their head at the same time, they're probably not fully in agreement. And so don't be surprised when they end up wanting to rescind your agreement down the road.
The body language portion reminds me of when we had Janine on the show, the lion tamer, as she's known. And we talked about, I found that very interesting, how much body language plays a part. And it's very true. I love the part on color as well, because when I read that portion of the book, I did not realize, I tend to wear a lot of black being a former New Yorker. But when I do public speaking, which is a little different than negotiating, but you're still getting out there in front of people. I have always tried to wear color, but I'm going to be a little more precise in what I choose based on what I read in your book. So I found that very helpful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You know, and even when you're public speaking, you're basically negotiating with the audience to say, hey, I have value. Listen to me. You know, I mean, right?
Yeah. Well, and so that's a really good point. That goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. People, you negotiate every day in every way in your life. That's why this information is so important, and why the book is really, because it's so well broken down and digestible. I think that there's information, as I just said, I'm pulling stuff out of this, and I've been a divorce attorney for 30 years. I negotiate every single day of my life, and I found a ton of information in the book that was helpful.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Negotiate Like You Matter, the surefire method to step up and win, with our own best-selling author,
and top 1% attorney, Rebecca Zung.
I always tell people you have to acknowledge them and make them feel like they matter, even if you hate their guts, even if you detest them. Because even if you detest them, you obviously want something from them or you wouldn't be having the conversation.
We're going to take a quick break right now to tell you about our newest sponsor, the co-parenting app Fair. If that sounds familiar, we interviewed Michael Daniels, the creator of Fair, on episode 123, The Insider Secret to Seamless Co-Parenting. And Rebecca and I are very strong supporters of Fair because we think it supplies you with the best tools to improve communication with your co-parent. They have a time-sharing calendar, documentable text messaging, and an expense tracker to keep track of those shared expenses.
There's a GPS check-in that's court verifiable, a monthly parenting report to download with all your details, a private journal to take notes, a file vault to keep your records, photos, and documents, and it's all downloadable in a convenient time and date stamp PDF when you need documentation for legal matters. And there's even a Spanish version as well. Fair allows you to experience co-parenting a totally new way, simply, inexpensively, transparently, and fairly. Lose the he said, she said, and be the best parent you can be. Be Fair. Subscribe at BeFair, BeFayr.com, and then download FAYR from the App Store or Google Play. Just go to Fair.com for more details.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including how you can be losing out on thousands of dollars in divorce and not even know it, with certified divorce financial analyst Jillian Jones.
One thing that probably sticks out to a lot of people is, how did she save someone $500,000?
Exactly.
She must have been working with a billionaire. And the honest truth, no, it was middle-class America. I mean, middle-class America.
And now we return to today's show.
So there's another T in matter, which is tackle the hard issues second. That is a good one. I've noted that in my past practice, but why don't you explain that for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, the way I normally say it is start with the easier issues, start with the less contested issues, the things you think you're going to be agreeing on. You know, I think we can agree that we both want the company to thrive. I think we can agree that we want to provide quality services to our customers or something, you know, even if it's just something like that. Find an area where you're in agreement. I think we can agree that we want our partnership to be productive, that we want both of us to feel empowered in the partnership, something to the, you know, along those lines. So that people start off feeling like you are in agreement. They start off with that momentum of, we have a connection, we have a bond, we're getting somewhere. And then, you know, what happens is, I have a mediator friend who always says, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. I don't know that he's ever eaten an elephant, but his point is well taken. And that is that, you know, you start with these little bites, and especially if you start with the bites that are seem to be pretty good, and then all of a sudden you're almost there and you realize that, oh, geez, we've made so much progress and we only have these few little outlying issues left over. And so what happens is the people just go, well, we don't want to lose the whole deal that we've already spent so much time putting together and so much energy and so much emotion into this thing. And now we're almost there. Let's just go ahead and, you know, either split the difference for this last one, or I'll just give in to this last piece or whatever, because both sides have already felt like they've gotten a lot of value. They've already felt like they've been seen, they've been heard, they matter. You know, and by starting off that way, you're also giving the other person the feeling that they matter. You're acknowledging them. And that's really, really important. I always tell people you have to acknowledge them and make them feel like they matter, even if you hate their guts, even if you detest them. Because even if you detest them, you obviously want something from them or you wouldn't be having the conversation. So you've got to do something to figure out a way that they feel like they're walking away with some sort of value.
Yeah, this is a key component of negotiations I've always found. Even when I'm doing mediations with a couple, I have always found that starting the two of them with the discussion around what they do agree on, or what I've been able to glean as their mediator that they do agree on, such as they've agreed to come to mediation. So we have our first agreement. They agree that they want a parenting plan that keeps their children happy, healthy, whole, and is in their best interest. So finding those areas of common ground to start, and I really like everybody, this is a bite-sized piece of information you can take away. Starting the sentence with, I think we can agree, or I think we do agree that, you know, when in your negotiation, that was, you heard Rebecca, you know, say that repeatedly as she pointed out the agreements, really helpful tool when you're starting that conversation. So that's a really great, you know, point in your book that I think people will be able to take out. The next one for E can be, I think, and certainly we've talked about this in so many episodes, you're talking about emotions. And emotion, that's the E, that's the toughie, that could be the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so E is keep your emotions in check. And, you know, I've had people say to me, oh, so I'm not allowed to be passionate. I'm not allowed to feel anything about my arguments or whatever. And that is completely not what I mean at all. Obviously, you can feel passionate. Obviously, you can feel, you know, completely that you are in the right, that you understand your arguments, that your position is the correct one, and you've done all your research and all of that, no problem. What I'm talking about is actually a loss of control. When you lose control of your emotions, and even if you think that being angry and yelling at the other person gets them to be under control, you've lost control of yourself, which means you've lost control of the negotiation. So letting the other person get under your skin, letting them get you upset, you know, if you say things like, he always makes me feel like crap, or she makes me feel like I'm a terrible person, you're allowing that other person to dictate how you are going to feel. So remember, going back to that very first point, my value is defined by me. Both sides have to feel like they matter, right? So, but you tell people what to think. I mean, I say this all the time. People will think what you tell them to think. And so if you tell them that you have value, they will understand that you have value. And so you don't have to lose control. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to get emotional and cry or scream or yell or throw things. I've seen people punch walls in mediation and throw things. You don't have to do any of that, because as soon as you do that, the conversation is no longer productive and you're not going to get what you want and they're not going to get what they want. So it doesn't serve anybody to lose control of your emotions.
Right. And that, you know, the thing that happens when you let your emotions take over is you usually become unreasonable. You lose sight of all those things that Rebecca talked about in A, analyze, know your facts, know your positions, and you just lose sight of all of that. And you get set in things that are not going to move the conversation forward and ultimately not going to get you where you want to go. So learning to manage your emotions, something we talk about quite often. You know, I think you have mindfulness techniques that you've shared about how people can, in that heat of the moment, try to bring themselves back under control.
Yeah. And you know, if you do the work and know that you have value inherently, you actually won't lose control as much. And I do give a really great example, by the way, in the book about Mr. Rogers and asking for money from Congress. And I love that example because he completely stays calm. He gets the $20 million. And by the way, he is in a position of way less power. So I have a whole lot of conversation in the book about what happens if the other person is far more powerful than you or holds all the cards. You can still get what you want.
So let's talk about the R in matter. And this is where I think your lawyer is coming out, your inner attorney. And it's an exceedingly important part of negotiating. So why don't you tell us about R?
Yeah. So I have a little quote at the beginning of that chapter saying, if it wasn't in writing, it never happened. And I jokingly refer to it as being said by whoever is your lawyer down the road when you try to sue on an agreement that was oral.
That's a good one.
So, it cuts both ways, by the way. I always tell people that, you know, whatever you put in writing, remember, is going to be a potential trial exhibit. So don't put anything in writing you don't want to see again. But, you know, even if it's just, you know, something with a partner or something with a friend or a coworker or anybody, you know, just sending a follow-up text or sending a follow-up email so that there's no misunderstandings as to, you know, this is what we talked about, and this is what I understand our agreement is. Because that gives the person the immediate opportunity to come right back and say, no, this wasn't the agreement. I understood it to be X, Y, and Z. And nobody has to be wrong. You don't have to make anybody wrong. It's just a misunderstanding, and you want to make sure that you're on the same page.
I've told clients that even when, you know, you have co-parents going back and forth after the divorce to talk about things and they come to an agreement, I always tell my clients, immediately send a confirmatory email saying it's my understanding that we have agreed that, you know, please let me know if I've misunderstood, because putting things in black and white just means that you're going to be able to not just have it to prove things later on, but it clarifies things and makes it clear and helps everybody stick to what you agreed. So overall, we've been through matter, but what's the biggest takeaway that you want the listeners to learn and readers of your book to take away?
I would say definitely that you and you alone define your value, and people will think what you tell them to think.
Yeah, I think that I agree. And it's certainly the book is replete with that. I think it's the type of book, I just want to point out to everyone, this is a very easy book to read. It's very interesting. Rebecca has a wide number of examples and her own personal experiences intertwined in here with the things, like she says, research. But she's presented the research in a really interesting and bite-sized sort of manner. So I encourage everybody to read it. I want to make sure that everyone knows how to get the book, Rebecca, and to find out more about you and the book and all of your various ventures. So how would they do that?
You can get the book on Amazon, or there's a website set up just for the book, which is negotiatelikeyoumatter.com. And you can grab the book there, too, if that's easier for people to remember. And then my website is RebeccaZung.com, RebeccaZung.com. And I do have a free download gift at WinMyNegotiation.com.
Oh, so I'll be downloading that. You can never know enough about winning your negotiation, everybody. So we'll put, as always, we will put all of the information and the link to Rebecca's different sites and to the book and everything in the show notes. But this was a lot of fun for me to get to talk to Rebecca. We don't get to talk about ourselves or our endeavors as much. And this is a very exciting step. I can say I've known Rebecca for some time now, and this is a space, negotiation, trust me, people, this woman knows what she's talking about. So
thank you.
You will be learning from one of the best. So I encourage you all to get the book.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.